The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Sarah Haggerty teaches us how to let the grit of our day greet the beauty of God's presence.
Paul invites us to pray without ceasing, and I think sometimes we think it's a hard discipline, but if you look at the Psalms, those psalmists were hot mess. And they brought their emotions to God, and their whole conversation with God was, I'm a mess, you're amazing, I don't get it, I'm a mess, you're amazing, that back and forth.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh here with my cohort, Randy Robeson, and I'm excited about this program. When this book came across my desk, I just thought, wow, what a beautiful cover and an interesting title. And it's something that might seem a little hard initially to grasp hold of, but then I began to read it and I thought, wow, what a gift. Please help me welcome our guest, Sarah Haggerty.
Thank you.
Great to have you back.
Thank you for having me back.
You've been off raising seven children or something?
Your book is called Adore.
Yes.
Which is, it's one of those things that when I first read the title, I thought, well, I know we sing about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, come let us adore him. But I'm not quite sure how that breaks down into my everyday life. And I wondered, what was going on in your life to birth this book?
That's a great question. Long before I wrote the book, I lived it, or at least lived parts of it. And I was meeting with a friend for coffee, and we were just sharing about our life. This was about 10 years ago. And that was during a season of infertility for me. There was a lot of ache in my heart. My dad had died. I was feeling a lot of pain. And I think she was hearing in our conversation just about everyday life, not even about the really hard things. She was hearing cynicism and bitterness and just kind of a hardness. And she said to me, Sarah, have you considered just adoring God? And I was like, sure. Adoration. And I thought of that old acronym, ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I had that as a new believer. That's my formula for prayer. Of course I've adored God. And she looked me in the eye and she said, no, I mean like really actively adoring God. And she gave me a challenge that I took. And I went home and I started looking at the Bible through the lens of characteristics of God that I could adore. Wow. And I started to actually use the language of the Bible to adore God with. And when I came to that language, I realized there's a huge distance between what God says about himself in his word and what I actually believe on a daily basis.
You talk about that in the book. You say, I can't remember the way you phrase it. The way you phrase it is so much better. It's like, I barely know you.
That's a prayer, and I still pray that prayer often now, but it started then when I looked at the word and went, all these years I've been telling other people about it, I'm preaching it to my kids, because I had children who I had adopted, that we had adopted, and so I was a mom, and I'm preaching it to my kids, but like in the quiet of my heart, when I really look at his word, and I really bring kind of the real emotions, you know, the ones that we spend most of our day kind of hiding from, to that word, I can honestly say, I barely know you. And that's what started adoration, was me looking at the word and going, I really barely know you, God.
That's profound for me, though, because I think, when I think of my own spiritual journey, and there's certain things that I associate with God, certain characteristics, but in terms of me being silenced by the greatness of all of who God is, I totally get that. Oh, so where did you start?
Well, I mean, a great place to start this is the Psalms. I started with a little book that just had characteristics of God listed. And I'm three characteristics in and realizing I say these things, I might preach them to other people, but like when I get to the quiet, I actually am not living like I believe this. I mean, I'm talking about the quiet, not of 6:30 a.m. when everything's perfect about your day and your kids haven't woken up yet. I mean the quiet of 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the car broke down and you still have to pay for this dishwasher that broke and you've got a million things to do that you don't think you're going to get to. When I bring that, the emotions that I feel in that moment to his word, I go, oh, Lord, there's a whole lot here that I don't know.
So help me out just a little bit, because this is still a bit of a lofty concept.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So what does it mean? You go, okay, I've got this problem this afternoon, and I'm tired, and the kids are loud. But God, you're great. I mean,
yeah.
It's got to be so much more than just kind
of so
this
more
lip
that.
Service kind of thing. What does it look like for you?
I think we're all familiar with the lip service.
Right.
And so in some ways, we say adoration, we save it for Sundays, or we save it for when we feel really good about ourselves. Because that's when we typically mm-hmm. worship God, is when we feel good, rather than going, okay, I'm going to earmark a part of my day where I actually don't feel great about myself, where I feel overwhelmed, where I feel fearful, where I feel like the task in front of me is too big for me. And I'm going to step outside of that moment and I'm going to open the Word of God, either to a characteristic of God that I know I'm wrestling with or just to a psalm. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say in this moment, this is what your word says. And I'm going to have a dialogue where I go, you know, an example would be, I feel super over. I have 7 kids. So.
Wow. This should be applause right there. Yes. Thank you.
Something. And so there's a lot of times where I feel overwhelmed. And so I can either keep going in the inertia of that moment and keep tasking to try and get on top of it, or I can actually step outside of that moment, whether it be in the laundry room or back in my bedroom, and open God's word and go, okay, Paul, you said to Paul, your power is made perfect in weakness. And this is what my adoration looks like. I go, God, I feel terribly weak and I hate feeling weak. Mm-hmm. And I want to do everything I can today to not feel weak. I want to task harder. I want to get my list done. I want my kids well behaved. I want to be a good mom. But your word says that your power is made perfect in weakness. I don't feel that. I'm not sure I believe that. But I adore you, God, that your power overshadows my weakness. And it's that back and forth.
But that the way that that intersects with just the dailiness, because I love your subtitle, A Simple Practice for Experiencing God in the Middle Minutes of Your Day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's, and I love when you talk about the Psalms. To me, God gave the Psalms to the people of God to pray back to God.
Yes.
It's like whatever you're feeling, if you're feeling shame or anger or fear, or you'll find yourself in the Psalms.
Yes. That's right. You don't have to put your emotions aside. Yet I think as Christians, we so often live like the radical life in God is when I do X, Y, Z, fly across an ocean to adopt orphans or serve the poor in my community. When radical, honestly, for me, radical is when I choose at 3:00 in the afternoon to pray.
Yeah.
Paul invites us to pray without ceasing. And I think sometimes we think it's a hard discipline. But if you look at the Psalms, those psalmists were hot mess. And they brought their emotions mm-hmm. to God. And their whole conversation with God was, I'm a mess. You're amazing. I don't get it. I'm a mess. You're amazing. That back and forth.
Yeah. I love that. That's one of my biggest beliefs, to process your pain in the presence of God.
Yes.
Because I used to hide my pain from the presence of God.
Yes.
But when I bring it into the presence of God, suddenly it finds its place, you know? And it's like God is so much bigger than what's going
That's
on.
That's exactly right. I say in the book, the phrase that came to me as I was adoring was the word heals. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we study the word to get knowledge or to teach or to gain principles for really good living. But the truth is that word, if I come with my emotions, it can heal the deepest, most broken parts of me if I bring them to him, if I bring them out into the light. And the psalmist did that.
One of the things I love though is the second half, or second, almost two-thirds of the book, you help us because you list out the attributes of God. And that must have been quite a study for you.
Well, what's interesting, I actually did a survey and asked people, what's the side of God that you wrestle with the most? And those 30 that I list in there were the ones that came back most frequently.
Wow.
So I probably would have listed those myself.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because I think that we have a universal kind of human ache that shows up in those 30 attributes.
Hit a couple of those for us.
Well, you know, God is restorer. God is restorer. I have living brokenness in my home is 4 of my children were adopted and they have trauma in their history.
Because you didn't get them as babies, did you?
We didn't. No, we adopted older. And so they have real pain in their history. And every day I'm faced with going, do I really believe, God, that you are a restorer? Well, it wasn't just me. So many people came back saying, I don't know if I really believe that God restores. God is healer. Mm-hmm. God is tender. Which is really interesting,
wow,
right?
That's really interesting.
If we get quiet, so many times we acknowledge, I don't know if I really think you're tender to me. I think you're kind of wanting to coach me back into a better way of living.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not tender and kind with my failures.
You know, it's interesting that the moment I experienced the tenderness of God most was my very first night in a psychiatric hospital when I had run out of words to pray. And literally, I just said, God, I'm done. Mm. And I felt as if I heard him say, I know, and I'm here. And it was so profoundly tender. And it came with this message of, you don't have to be okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. You know, I'm here.
Yeah. And that right there is the beauty of adoration. If we come like that to him and to his word, I mean, that changed you.
Totally. Totally changed me.
And yet so many times I think we come into worship and adoration when we've got our Sunday best on.
Yeah. Yeah. You refer to it as the grit of life.
Yeah.
Of coming during the grit. How did that kind of adjust your view of God and of yourself when you decided, you know what, even in the worst of my days, in the difficult circumstances, I'm going to choose to acknowledge you, Lord, and kind of give you some lip service, but yet in a right way, you know? How did that start to change the way you viewed God and viewed yourself?
You know, honestly, I think it's very similar to your story about experiencing the tenderness of God. When I started to just give myself permission to, like, instead of gripe texting a friend or like frantically getting on my task list, to pause and sit before God and go, I don't really like my life right now. I feel like you've given me too much to handle. I don't feel like I'm being a good mom, and bringing that part of myself to him, and then looking at his word and going, you're actually really tender with me here.
Yeah.
Your word, I mean, we act as if he is so different than what's in his word. So I look at Psalm 23 and it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And it goes on to say, your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so I go, you know what? Right now, dealing with four histories that feel really broken and really lost, it feels like the valley of the shadow of death, but your word is telling me your goodness and mercy are following me. Mm-hmm. I start to shift. And even if it's just 1 minute at a time, one Thursday afternoon, in 1 minute, instead of gripe texting somebody, I'm experiencing the tenderness of God. That's one more minute than it was the day before.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I've started to do, which might sound a little weird to people, but when I'm in that place where I'm just kind of tired or worn out or kind of at the end of myself, I take this little chair that's in the dining room and I put it in the middle of the room and I just go sit down, and it's like,
yes,
here I am. You know, I'm just here again. And there's just something about being quiet and just being so aware of being in the presence of God that is so, I mean, sometimes I think, you know, God must say to Jesus, oh, she's back again. But I just...
I think he says it, she's back again.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think he says,
yes,
you came. You came.
That's right.
Have you seen this message impact the lives of other women, Sarah?
Just recently I had a woman who approached me and said, you know, I have 7 kids and my oldest was killed last year in a car accident. And she said, what's gotten me through this year is adoration.
Wow.
I've used the adorations that you, I put them up on Instagram, and I've been using those each day when all I want to do is numb out and not get out of bed.
Wow.
And that adoration has been getting me through. And I just think the word heals.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, what could be worse than that? I don't know.
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I'm curious, it just as you guys are talking, especially, I wonder if when you started to express adoration towards God, if that maybe helped open the door in your spirit to realize how much he adores you.
Wow. Yes. I mean, you said it. I the way that God's heart is expressed towards his people in the word is so different than how most of us Christians think he's thinking about us.
Right.
So true.
Right. I mean, Jesus repeatedly referred to God as Father. There's that paternal thing. And you, as a mother of 7, you know that heart for your children that you have. And the ones that have a broken past, how much you want to see them restored.
Yes.
And yet, one of the big issues is, does God really want to restore me? If we could understand how much he adores us.
That's right.
Then we would understand his true nature, I think, so much better. And I can see how that adoration expressed towards him in those daily moments would begin to open our eyes to that truth.
It just does. It gets us in the place of saying, I barely know you, God. And if I go to the Word and say, I barely know you, it opens me up to receive that there might be a side of him that I don't know.
Yeah. I love when you mentioned Psalm 23 and, you know, that the shepherd in the in Jerusalem and Israel always goes ahead of the sheep, and then mm-hmm. they have a couple of dogs that follow behind to get the mm-hmm. stragglers. And I love the fact that the way the psalmist wrote that we're going to be dogged by goodness and mercy.
Oh, that's so good.
For the rest of our days. You know, that's what God has sent to back us up when we walk through the darkest place.
Yes.
But goodness and mercy is going to dog us all through our days. How has this message impacted your children?
You know, we, as I said, I have seven, but four have been adopted or were adopted, and they are wrestling very overtly with who God is in their story.
Sure.
I mean, in some senses, it's almost easier for them to wrestle because they have a real reason to wrestle, mm-hmm. whereas some of the rest of us who maybe have cleaner stories, cleaner histories, might not recognize that we have the same internal struggle.
Sure.
And so watching them, being able to enable them to go to the Word in the same way that I am, I'm watching them feel like it's okay to honestly wrestle through their adoration, mm-hmm. that it's not this spiritual discipline that they just need to do, mm-hmm. but they actually can. I remember one of my daughters one night was really wrestling with, like, feeling a lot of shame, mm-hmm. a lot of, like, God doesn't like me. She messed up on something that was probably relatively minor and feeling this immense shame. And we went to Psalm 18. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Mm-hmm. And she likes to paint. So she's like painting and journaling out that verse. And I'm watching her countenance as I'm kind of saying to her, you know, he likes it when you ride your bike in the snow. He likes it when you're dancing in the kitchen and nobody knows. He likes it when you sing in the shower. Those sorts of things. I'm watching her countenance change and shame fall away. So in some ways, adoration is just as much the antidote to shame for them as it is for me.
But what a gift, Sarah, you are to your children, to be able to model an authentic faith where they don't feel like they have to suppress what's true for them.
I hope so. I mean, they see me mess up a lot. So.
Well, but that's good too. I mean, I think that's good. I think it's because, you know, once they've got their own faith, that strong faith, mm-hmm. you're their sister as much as you are their mom.
Oh, I want to be that.
And you walk out this journey with them.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question. This is a little off topic, but because you've adopted, what is your mother's heart? What do you hope to see out of those children as they grow up?
Oh, man. I would love for them to grow and know how loved they are by God. I mean, a secondary thought is what they might do for his kingdom. My daily prayer is that they would know how loved they are and pursued by God that they are.
It's the best prayer you could ever pray for your children.
And can you see how that's God's heart for all of us?
That's so true.
This is an amazing book. I mean, I really think it's a book that you should get for yourself. I think you should get one for your adult children. I think you should get one for your mother, for your great aunt Cynthia. For it's a book that will really make a difference in our lives. And you know, here at Life, our heart is to make a difference in this world. Mm-hmm. And we have seen so many children in different countries who struggle to believe that God is good, who struggle to believe that God hears their prayers. And we want to be an answer to their prayer. Mm-hmm. I was recently in Southeast Asia and met some young girls where it was unthinkable, unspeakable to watch what they had gone through. But to be able to tell somebody who has walked in such a dark place that there is a God who loves them, that they are not a number to him, that they have a name and they have a purpose and they have a future. And I promised them that I would come home and tell you their stories. Mm. And would you watch this?
The bonds of family are among the most powerful in humankind. In areas stricken by poverty, young children willingly seek jobs to support their households. After being tricked and kidnapped at the age of 13, Savan Chenda was raped for a month to break her psychologically. Her captors also beat her and threatened her if she tried to escape. And their methods were effective. Sitting here with Savan Chenda today, we asked her why she did not escape at this moment. And this was her answer.
What we're dealing with here, it is a very intentional evil. I can't unsee or unhear the voices of these little girls. Southeast Asia is so organized with their sex trafficking. It has become a multi-million dollar business, if not a billion dollar business. So we have to be so intentional to say, no, we're going to stop this. She's such a precious little girl. Right. I spend the whole afternoon with her, and she was just like my little sister. She was just a child. And can you imagine at 13 thinking, I have to endure this because if I don't endure it, they're going to go after my sister. The whole reason she ended up in this place was her dad got sick and they didn't have any money for doctors. So they had to borrow money from a money lender. And then he ups the price and they can't pay it back. And so that's how she ended up. She ended up in a place like that because she cares for her family. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as we, as the body of Christ, are on the earth at this time, this cannot happen in our watch. We can't just turn away and say, you know what, that's terrible, and I'm so sorry, but I've got my own life. We have been given the privilege, in Jesus' name, to make a difference in the lives of others. So many of these young girls are, broken, their spirits broken by the time they're 13, 14, 15. But the amazing thing is we have partners on the ground. This is what I love about James and Betty. James has never gone into a country and thought, I'm going to go in and make a big deal. He looks to see who is God using in this country. And then he gets underneath and he underwrites. We have partners on the ground right now. And they're saying, can you help us? We need you to help us. And the amazing thing at the moment, we have a $250,000 matching gift. Now, usually, for us to be able to get into villages and teach children or to kick down the doors and rescue a child or to take them to our house of destiny, it usually costs about $128. But because of that matching gift, if you can even give $64, that will now help in the process of reach, rescuing or restoring one girl. Randy, we can change the face of Southeast Asia.
Oh, and not just there. It's such a bigger problem, and we are addressing it thanks to you. And you know, Sheila, as a father of daughters, when I see that kind of thing, I gotta admit, my reaction is I want to curse the darkness. But we are to light a candle, and we can be that candle. We can be that light in the darkness. That's what we're here for. I've had people ask me, why didn't God do anything about that? And I'm like, He is. He's put His people here and said, be that light. So that's what we want you to do. $1,280, Sheila, with the matching gift, will help reach, rescue, or restore 20 children. 20.
Amazing.
20 little girls like that one that you sat there and held. And I can hardly even talk about it like you without breaking down because it is so, I can't imagine how God feels.
No.
And as one of His, I want to be able to look at the Lord one day and say, God, I did everything I could. And that's why I'm asking you to do what you can. So please get on the phone, go online. Let's rescue these kids.
Behind the bright lights, there is a darkness where a world of innocence is lost and abuse runs rampant, scarring the souls of children with no one and nowhere to turn for help. With bodies broken and hopes crushed, these young victims are trapped in a never-ending nightmare. Today, you can shine the light of God's love in this dark world to reach, rescue, and restore these young ones to the life God designed for them to live. With a generous $250,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift, we'll send you this beautiful freedom bracelet, handcrafted by survivors of human trafficking who want to say thank you for helping those still trapped. Wear it as a wonderful reminder to pray for the outreach. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Freedom Tote. This quality canvas tote bag is made by trafficked survivors who are now learning a new trade and includes spiritual life resources such as books, devotionals, CDs, or DVDs. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children, and you may request our beautiful new bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
What you're seeing behind me right now is some villagers who are learning how to not be lured into sex trafficking. We know for a fact that some girls have disappeared from this area and have not been heard of again. It's critical that we reach into areas like this and educate them so that they will know what to look for. So when the sex traffickers come back through this area, no more will be taken. We're doing all that we can to reach into places like this, to rescue the girls that have been taken and to restore their lives and restore their families and restore their villages. I hope you'll go to the phone right now, go online, do what you can. The Rescue Life program is making a huge impact in areas that really need the love of God. Do what you can. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. For any gift at all, we're going to send you a bracelet made by one of these girls so you can wear it and remember them. Also, you can ask for Sarah Haggerty's book, Adore. Again, I just can't recommend it highly enough.
It's wonderful. Would you thank Sarah for being with us here on Live Today? Sarah, thank you for pouring your heart out and for just being a light. It's so good. And thank all of you. Please do what you can. Go online, go to the phones. Let's be that light. And we will see you next time here on Live Today.
Easy to paint God as a jerk because then it left me off. I got off the hook.
Actor and writer Susan Isaacs, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.